thanks for connecting with our online content at Holy Trinity Church in Richmond. We really hope that what we share with you will be a blessing and will help you to continue to grow in your knowledge and love of God.
Morning, we're reading the third chapter of Jonah. Jonah goes to Nineveh. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message that I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne and took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. And this is the proclamation he issued in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows, God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. Here is the word of God.
Thanks be to God. I invite Jessica.
Good morning, everyone. It's nice to be with you this morning. My name's Jesse, if we haven't met. And it is school holidays, isn't it? So there's a few regulars away, and it's also nice to see some visitors. It's lovely to have you here with us. You've come in the third week of a series we're doing through the book of Jonah. So if you do have a Bible in front of you, please do open it. Let me pray before we think on these great words. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. As we're going to see this morning, it is powerful, and I pray that we would recognize that and live in light of that. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, a number of years ago, I'm from Christchurch originally, and a number of years ago I was at a service in Christchurch, and after the service I started talking to a lovely older lady who was there, and she was talking to me about her life. And in particular, she was telling me about her husband who'd passed away a few years earlier. And she was saying, he's a lovely, lovely man. He had a very big heart. And I said, oh, that's great. It sounds like he was a very kind man. To which she responded, no, I mean his heart was massive. The scientists wanted it for research. They'd never seen anything like it. That's a true story, and she was, like I said, she was lovely, and so she found my mistake very funny. But I say that just to remind us that our theme for the last 2 weeks and through Jonah as a whole has been the heart. We started our series in Jonah a couple of weeks ago, and we've been seeing both God's heart for his people, as well as one particular heart, the heart of a man named Jonah. A man whose heart was anything but big. Jonah was not a willing servant of the Lord. In chapter 1, we saw him run away from God when given the command to take his message to the sinful people in Nineveh. We saw him run in completely the opposite direction, and we were reminded that you cannot run from God. God, who found him and then in his grace spared him his life after he was thrown overboard by providing for him a great fish, that story that many will be familiar with. And then last week from Eric, we had a great reminder as we looked at Jonah's prayer while he was inside the fish. Really, it's more of a song of praise as he thanked God for his salvation. This week, Jonah is out of the fish. We live in a post-fish world, and we're going to be looking at three responses through the third chapter of Jonah. Firstly, Jonah's response to God, then the people's response to God, and then thirdly, God's response to the people. All of this, I hope, will help us to more fully understand that theme of God's heart for his people. Firstly, Jonah's response to God. What we have here in Jonah chapter 3 is essentially a new beginning. Jonah had been given a job by God in chapter 1, that we saw a couple of weeks ago, and he'd rejected the command and he tried to run. Here in chapter 3, we see God command Jonah in exactly the same way. The first verse of chapter 3 is virtually identical to the first verse of chapter 1. If you have your Bible open, I encourage you to just flick back to verse 1 of chapter 1. It says, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it." Now the first verse of chapter 3, our passage this morning, "Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim dot, dot, dot." It's a new beginning. It's a chance for Jonah to finally do the right thing. And I hope you see the great news in just that one verse of chapter 3. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Now, we follow a God of second chances. Jonah had directly and intentionally rejected God. But God doesn't chastise him. He doesn't threaten him. He just gives him his word a second time. Now, that is the God that I pray you and I follow. A God of second chances, who will forgive again and again and again. A God whose heart is so full of love for his people that he will encourage us and speak to us again and again, even in the face of our rejection of him or his word. That is great news. I'm sure that there will be some in this room this morning who feel far from God. Some maybe who feel worried. Oh, well, I've rejected God before, or I feel as though I keep letting him down. I hope that these words in Jonah are an encouragement to you. God came to Jonah a second time. He is a God of second chances. Now, we shouldn't use that as an excuse to just hold off and I'll wait to make a change until later on in life. That's never a good thing to do. But for those who worry, this should be an encouragement that God will hear you and you will be welcomed into his arms and you have a second chance. Remember that we trust in a God that loves us and holds us in his hand despite our failings, and we have every chance to hear his word and respond to it. Well, that's what happens to Jonah. God commands him again here to go to the city of Nineveh, this city known across the land for its evil and its wickedness, and he's told to proclaim the word that God will give him. And the tension here is that question of whether or not Jonah will actually do it. He's failed once before. He's run off once before. Will Jonah again try to run? Well, it seems that 3 days in the darkness of a fish has helped Jonah see the light, and thankfully this time he does exactly as God commands him. Verse 3, Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. That's a great verse. Jonah's response to God here is to hear his word and follow his instruction, to trust and obey. Now, we're not told much more about Jonah's attitude here in chapter 3. That'll be chapter 4. But for now, he trusts and obeys. And he heads to Nineveh, the city that we're told in chapter 3 is great and important. Verse 3, it's a 3-day trip. And Jonah preaches the word that God commands him. Verse 4, this is the message. 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. It's simple. It's to the point. He's not wordy, is he? This is a massive moment in the book of Jonah. Finally, that charge that God gave Jonah back in chapter 1, it's been carried out. He has proclaimed the word of God to the people. And I think it's helpful to think about how simple the message is. Firstly, Jonah doesn't say a lot, does he? Secondly, he's blunt. So often I find, you may feel the same way, that I can shy away from talking about the gospel because it's confronting. It can be hard to bring up judgment or sin, but for us as Christians, it is vital to remind ourselves that we cannot fully understand what it is that we've been given in Christ's death until we understand truly the depth of the sin that we've been saved out of. Jonah's message here is a great reminder of not shying away from the truth of God's message. Well, in chapter 3 here, Jonah's response to God is to trust and obey and to give God's message to the people, which brings us then to the people's response to God. So that was Jonah's. Now we see the people's response to God. Because the subject of the book of Jonah up till now has been Jonah, hasn't it? It's been almost a character study of this guy and his refusal to obey the command of God. He has been scared. He's been remorseful. He has been thankful, we saw last week. And then here in chapter 3, he has finally been obedient. But Jonah takes a back seat in this chapter. He really isn't the main point. Now, the main point of chapter 3 is the response of the Ninevites to God's word. And just like there was tension in what Jonah's response to God's command would be, so too is there tension here. The question is, how are the people actually going to respond to this message that God has given them? 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. That word overthrow there is used a number of times in the Old Testament, and it means destroy. God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. But it's also used to describe a change, a transformation, a turning away from. And so the tension is very clear. In 40 days, either the people's hearts will be changed and they will turn away, or God will overthrow their city in response to their evil. Well, their decision is very clear, isn't it? They turn completely from their sin and they repent. That is great news. We know from the words of Jesus himself in Matthew chapter 12 that this repentance of the Ninevites is a real, genuine change. This city that is known for being evil, this city that God has instructed be preached against that he might judge them, they turn from their sin. If you can, read with me from verse 6. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. That's the example of the highest in the land. And a verse before, verse 5, the Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. I saw a news story, I think it was from England, a number of years ago, which I think is one of the funniest news stories I've ever seen. And it was presented in a comical way. But a retirement home in England, they'd been telling the people who were living there that someone was going to be coming in and speaking to them that week about pirates. So as you can imagine, they got very excited about this. And understandably, they thought that this would be a light-hearted talk on the history of pirates. And so they all came dressed up as pirates. They wore wigs. They had kind of fake peg legs. They had plastic swords and eye patches. What they didn't know, but what I'm sure they found out very quickly, was that the man who was coming in to speak to them had been kidnapped by Somalian pirates and spent 2 months as a hostage on the Indian Ocean. I'm sure they realized very quickly in their wigs and their peg legs that they should not have been dressed up like that. It's clear that the guy who came in to speak found it hilarious, their misunderstanding, But if I was there, I would have been mortified if I'd turned up wearing that to hear that guy speak. On the flip side, you have Nineveh here in our passage. They were absolutely dressed up in the perfect way. They knew the situation, and they knew exactly what sort of dress to get into. Sackcloth. Sackcloth was an image in those days of mourning or self-denial or sorrow at sin, and the people of Nineveh wholeheartedly embraced that. They all dress in sackcloth. More than that, I hope you didn't miss that little detail in verse 8, even the animals are dressed in sackcloth. Not only is that something I'm sure we'd all like to witness, but what it should do for us is show us how truly fearful the people were and how much they tried to repent. They're taking this so seriously that they are doing everything they possibly can to show their repentance. And it's not just an outward change, is it? The king, as he addresses his people, he says, "Let them give up their evil ways and their violence." This isn't just an outward kind of ticking of the sackcloth box. There's an encouragement here to the people of Nineveh, from the highest to the lowest, from the king to the commoners, to change their lives. Which I think is a great reminder to us of two things. Firstly, this should be our attitude towards sin, that we do everything in our power to turn from it. Not just outwardly, not just as we appear to those around us, but inwardly. Our theme through the book of Jonah has been heart. And here, by the grace of God, we see a change of heart in the people of Nineveh. I don't know about you, but I've seen it as very popular at the moment in media and things like that to say, follow your heart. I think that's something we hear quite a lot. Follow your heart, or the heart wants what the heart wants. Friends, if you are here this morning, you will know that our hearts lead us astray. Our hearts often want what they want because we're sinful. I'm sure the world would be a worse place if I followed the desires of my heart all day, every day. We're told in God's word that Solomon followed his heart, and he ended up with 300 wives and turned from God. Jesus says in Matthew that out of the heart comes evil thoughts. Murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. We need to change our hearts. Spend time in God's word. Spend time with other brothers and sisters in Christ around you. The Ninevites here are a great example of recognizing their need for a changed heart. But it's also, I think, a great reminder to never give up hope that someone can change. The Ninevites are, and we can't stress it enough, they were terrible. They were known everywhere for their wickedness. No one would have thought it possible for them to change, but they did. They turned from their sin, they tried to change their hearts, and they repented. Why? Because they heard the word of the Lord sent to them by God. We have the word in front of us, and we have the same charge from God as Jonah did, to go out and tell people God's message. Countless times we are instructed as followers of Christ to be faithful witnesses, to spread his good news to the ends of the earth. As we do so, trust that God can change hearts. Saul, who persecuted Christians and sought to kill as many as he could, heard the word of God, changed his name to Paul, and then became the most influential man besides Jesus in history. The woman at the well, who no one in her town thought she was worth anything. She had been married 5 times and was living with a 6th man. She heard the word of God and had a changed heart. The Ethiopian eunuch in Acts, who believed that he could never be saved, heard the real word of God and was saved. God's word, and I'm sure surely our own lives, are full of unlikely converts. God's word can change the hearts of anyone. Many here, I'm sure in this room, will have brothers or sisters, or children, or grandchildren, or friends, or maybe spouses who do not know the Lord. And that can be such a massive burden on our hearts. But do not give up hope. Pray for them, talk to them, and trust that God can change their heart. Well, that's the response of the people to God. They turn from their sin and they repent. And before we move on, I hope you do notice that slight distinction. It's not a response to the words of Jonah, is it? Look at verse 5. They have heard Jonah speak to them, and verse 5 tells us, the Ninevites believed God. Not Jonah, who was the one speaking to them, but God. It's the word of God that they have heard, and because of that word from God, they have reacted humbly and with repentance. As you listen to myself this morning, as you listen to Zane or anyone else on a Sunday here, make sure that what you are responding to is the word of God. It's not just Zane preaching, it's Zane teaching the word of God. And I pray that we would respond to that faithfully. Oh, well, that brings us then to the last response in the chapter, which is God's response to the people. Very quickly, have a look at verse 9. This is the words of the king speaking to his people. He says, who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. And that's the tension here, isn't it? There was tension in Jonah's response and the people's response. And now here, God has promised judgment on the city. But wonderfully, we've seen the city repent and turn from their ways in response. And so that question stands, will God relent from the judgment that he's promised? Well, the great news of verse 10 is that God absolutely does. Verse 10, when God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. God shows compassion and he shows grace. Friends, this is the nature, this is the heart of our God. The people of Nineveh were sinful. Again, everybody knew that. But they repented and they turned from their sin and God heard that, he saw that, and he withheld his judgment. As we read through the book of Jonah, we should see the heart of God. As we have, I hope, the past 2 weeks, and as I hope we have this morning through chapter 3. But for us here in this room this morning, we see that heart of God, no better than in the person of his son, Jesus. We've just seen the word of God come through Jonah to the sinful people of Nineveh, and they have responded to it. They have trusted and obeyed. In Matthew chapter 12, we hear Jesus say that something greater than Jonah has come. John the Baptist says of Jesus, repent and believe. For us as Christians, we have the word of God come to us as a man. Through Christ's death and resurrection, we too have the opportunity to be saved, to respond to the word in repentance, to trust and obey. Jonah chapter 3 is a great picture. It's a really, really good chapter. We see, finally, the willingness of God's servant after he is given a second chance. We see the right repentance of a sinful people as they seek to understand their sin. And we see the mercy and grace of our Lord in the face of that repentance. And so for us, as we head home this morning, we should absolutely have the same attitude as the Ninevites. We should see the seriousness of our sin. We should cry out to God. We should change hearts because he will hear us and he will see us. But we should remember that in Christ, we have that perfect salvation that we heard of last week in chapter 2. Something greater than Jonah has come, that we might have a perfect relationship with our Creator, and that is wonderful news. In the heart of our God, we see a grace that we do not deserve, but we have been offered in love. Please join with me as I thank God for that now. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace and your compassion, that grace and compassion that we've just seen exemplified here in Jonah chapter 3, and that grace and compassion, I pray, we would all see in our own lives, that should we come to you, we will find salvation through your Son, who is greater than Jonah, and that we might be saved. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
If you'd like to connect with more of our online content at Holy Trinity in Richmond, you can do that by going to our YouTube page simply by searching for Richmond Anglican Aotearoa. You can also touch base with us online at our website or on Facebook by searching with those same words. Friends, we're so thankful that you've joined us online and that you're enjoying our content. We really do hope and pray that God is blessing you through it. If you've got any feedback, you can touch base with me, Zane@richmondparish.nz. Thanks so much for listening.